Hello and welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Valentine Analysis Center here at Car Talk Plaza.
VAC.
So what did you get your lovely wife for Valentine's Day?
I got her an 82 AMC Concord. She loves it.
Oh, you didn't get her the lifetime supply of vacuum cleaner bags?
VAC. I mean, it was Valentine Analysis Center. It should be VAC.
Yeah, you didn't, huh?
I didn't. What'd you get your wife?
Well, I it's coming in from the coast. Actually, I got her a replica of the Alamo.
That's important.
Yes, it is.
You know they moved the Alamo?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that. I have a few letters here.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
Mean you get mail too?
Well,
for those who I don't have to say, those who've never heard the show before, because no one has ever heard the show before. No one in his or her right mind would listen twice. But a few weeks ago, my dear brother opened his big yapper, and in the context of San Antonio, he said something about, did you know, he said to a caller from San Antonio, that the Alamo was moved from its original location to its current location? And she said, I didn't know that. And we must have got 500 letters from San Antonio saying, what is he talking about?
Well, we're getting letters from Pago Pago. People even knew there.
Pango.
I'll just briefly read through this one. I mean, I don't often read letters, but I was compelled to read at least a sampling of the 500 that came in.
Yes.
I was aghast as I listened to your program, which aired
da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
You discussed our Alamo, and its rather unique location in downtown San Antonio, mentioning a little-known fact that the Alamo had been moved to this present site from another spot 20 miles away.
You so even specified the 20 miles. I remember
I said 20-some-odd miles.
Some-odd, yeah. Fine.
So that it would be more convenient for tourists to see. How could anyone go so far wrong? The Alamo, I can assure you, has never moved an inch. Signed by some guy named Crockett. I don't know. It has been in the exact same spot since 1724 when it was founded as Mission San Antonio de Valero. One of five missions built along the San Antonio River. Wait a minute now. There's a disclaimer here.
Yeah.
There's an out.
Yeah.
I can perhaps forgive you because you may have misread your history. And I do read history rather extensively.
Yes, I
you may have
that.
Read that the mission was moved, which it was. It was originally organized in East Texas, well over 100 miles east of here in 1718. Shortly thereafter, relocated to San Antonio. So it was moved, except not 10 years ago, like I thought it was. Anyway.
It was, what, 200 years ago?
Picky, and it was 100 miles instead of 20
some odd
miles.
100 miles east of San Antonio, you're in the Gulf of Mexico.
No, that's south. 100 miles east, you're like...
You're in Louisiana.
No. No, you're on the way to Corpus Christi.
You are?
Yeah.
It's that
Texas,
far?
Texas is big.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah, you have...
I have the East
Coast. You have East Coast itis. You've lived here to 300 miles, and you've gone through four states in the Northeast. Well, anyway, if you'd like to talk to us, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, I'm Kathy from Centerville, Virginia.
Hi, Kathy.
From Somerville?
Centerville.
Centerville.
Oh, Centerville, Virginia.
Yeah, but it's spelled C-E-N-T-R-E. As in the old English.
Oh, yes.
Oh, that's good. Now the question is, don't tell me now.
Okay.
Because I've already made my decision.
Okay.
Of whether Kathy is with a K or with a C. Okay. What do you think?
I already wrote it with a K.
So did I.
You're both wrong.
Oh, I knew I should have swapped.
Well, maybe we'll get the
Monty
right...
Monty Hall would have made me swap.
Maybe we'll get the right answer to your question then.
With a C.
Hey, this is my question.
Oh, okay.
I have an Sentra. The SE version. Have you ever seen this? It's kind of cute.
Oh, these are lovely, yeah.
It's an awesome car. The only thing I've ever done to this car is replace the timing belt and front brakes. 113,000 miles.
Good for you.
113?
113,000 miles.
Really?
When I went to have the brakes replaced, my mechanic went to start it up and the battery died. It was the original battery, 6 years old.
That's okay.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah,
that's cool.
That is cool. What a place for it to happen.
I know. It was perfect.
Yeah.
Well, this is the problem. It's got its original clutch in it. And I still get lots of miles on it. Except, all right, I'm 30-ish. I'm single. And my boyfriend...
And you're never going to nab a fellow with this thing, right? Oh, is that... No, I'm sorry.
No.
Are you kidding? She says it's a neat little car.
It's a neat little car.
And besides, what has a car got to do with whether or not you nab someone, as you so crudely put it.
What, you think if I had a Camaro with a little fin on the back?
Yeah, with a license plate that said Donna?
Yeah.
You'd be all set.
Yeah, like, or see me shop or something. That's another option. Somebody's going to chase her down.
Right? All right.
Okay, this is the deal.
What is the fact that you're 30-ish and single got to do with this clutch? Did I lose something here?
But you have to let me finish the story.
No, she's filling in all the biographical background material.
Okay. I got it.
So he likes to drive this car.
Who's he?
But this boyfriend likes to drive this car.
Wait, when did he sneak into the conversation?
Well, he's been here all along, but you're not listening.
Okay.
So I've been dating him for a couple of months.
Couple of months.
Might be marriage material here. You never know.
Ah,
yes.
Okay.
My father's doing his novenas, so.
Do we want to mention a name here or not?
Well, no.
No. I think that would be dangerous.
We'll call him
because he doesn't know he's on the hook.
Yeah.
We'll call him just for purposes, like as they call it, a working title, Chip.
Chip. Yeah, that's a good one.
Chip.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well.
So he likes to drive this car because it's a standard. But, you know, the Sentra, it's a 1.8. We are not talking sports car here. Right?
No,
right,
I can
see the problem right now. He's driving it.
And he's wrecking your clutch.
In a manner.
Yeah, wrecking this clutch.
Yeah.
We were on a drive the other day going someplace. I have no clue what he was talking about because I'm mesmerized by the fact that his foot is riding this clutch.
Oh.
I can't utter a word.
And you don't know how to delicately tell him.
Do you know what a dope slap is?
Wait. You know, this might be potential. My father's thinking, you know, potential here.
He is, huh? I mean, yeah. Does this guy like, does he have a good job?
Yeah, good job.
Wait a minute. Didn't I just get bawled out a minute ago for saying something about nabbing somebody?
I don't know. We're just discussing.
And you're laying a trap for the guy. You and Dad.
All right. He's got a job. He doesn't have a rap sheet that you know of.
No,
have you
no.
checked for that?
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah.
Yeah, you always check for a rap sheet.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay, so this is good.
So, clutch is what? $400 to $600 to replace.
Yeah,
right?
You got it.
But I'm kind of priding myself on the fact that I can go the, you know, distance with not replacing.
So you haven't even broached the subject.
Well, we get in heated kind of, I get snappy about this whole thing.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, you know.
Does Chip have a car?
Yeah, he has a fairly new Honda.
Does he have a stick shift?
No, he has an automatic.
Well, here's what you do.
So he wants to wreck your clutch.
Yeah.
Right, you've got to, does he let you drive his car?
Yeah, no, I don't drive his car.
Wait, could you?
You know, Honda shift kind of funny.
Here's what you do. Here's what you do. I got it.
You got it? It's hard to hear you know, when I have my hands wrapped around his throat cutting off his ear.
No, you need to find some pretense.
No, next time you go out, you just somehow you make it so that you use his car and you drive. Let me drive, hon. This car looks cute. Let me try it. And you go down the street maybe 25, 30 miles an hour and throw it in reverse. and then say, oops.
So he's out there picking up the transmission.
As he's picking the transmission off the street, you say, na 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 na. This is going to cement your relationship.
Yeah, it'll cement it all right.
I don't think that's going to snare him in my love net.
Well, I mean, my first thought was, as you drive along, when he's driving your car, you put your hand on the back of the seat as though to caress him.
Yes.
And every time his foot rests on the clutch, you give him a little dope slap. Boom! and we use what we call classical conditioning. We've done this with pigeons,
right.
Dogs.
Reinforcement.
Right.
You know.
And then say, do the name Pavlov mean anything to you?
Yeah, we could do that.
And every
and
time his foot gets
know,
on, boom!
Shifting at 5,800 RPMs, you know, as I'm like going, oh my God, this is a little.
Yeah, exciting. No, I'll tell you, it goes a lot deeper than this. I mean, this tells me there are going to be problems with child rearing.
You think?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, they're going to be a host of problems.
Well, I think the way that you handle this situation will foretell how your entire relationship will unwind. I mean. This is gonna determine who is in charge in this relationship.
Uh-huh.
Is there one person who is obviously superior and one inferior? Are you equals? Can you discuss something, a problem, on equal terms?
Uh-huh.
Can he take constructive criticism?
Yeah.
Or an occasional dope slap.
Can he take a dope slap? And if he can't take a dope slap, then you're gonna dump him right away, your father notwithstanding.
Oh, okay.
Because anyone who can't take a dope slap ain't worth his salt.
All right.
Right.
Okay. My father will be probably calling you in about 10 minutes.
looking for another fella for you, right? Don't worry, there are plenty of fellas out there, Kathy.
Yeah. Can drive a standard?
Don't ever marry a man who rides the clutch.
Well, thanks, guys.
Straighten them up now. It's like housebreaking a dog. It really
what,
is.
Use a rolled up newspaper? Every time his foot gets... Boom! Boom, boom!
No, the choker collar I was thinking of, actually.
How about the electric shock thing around the neck?
That works, too, but that's a lot of money. You can rent those, I think.
You can rent one. You put the electric collar around his neck, and every time his foot goes on the clutch, you press the button, and you zap him. I hope he doesn't call us.
Yeah.
No, we'll straighten him right out if he calls. Don't worry, Kathy. We're in your corner.
We are.
All right. It's Kathy with a C.
Yeah, we
Kathy
remember. I already changed it.
Bye, guys.
See you later. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
Hey, this is Tom up in Utica.
Hi, Tom.
Utica, New York.
Utica, New York.
What's up?
Well, I got a 93 Taurus with an oil problem. About a couple of weeks ago, this thing, the oil light started to go on. Sometimes it would flash and then go off. Sometimes it would stay on. No real pattern. And my wife and I both thought at the same time, that simultaneous spousal thought, bad oil pressure. So I called the dealer, sight unseen, over the phone. They said 185,000 miles, you need a new engine. Which was a great diagnosis over the phone.
They're probably right.
Yeah.
That's what we would do over the phone.
They were wondering how you got to 185K.
This is not going well.
No.
All right, so I brought it in. They did a test. Sure enough, they said you have no oil pressure, but we priced out a new rebuilt engine for you.
Okay.
So at work, I tell the boys at work, and they say to me, you know, put in a can of STP and a heavier grade oil. You'll build up enough pressure. You'll be fine. So I'm thinking... Somebody here's a genius, somebody here's a quack, and I got to go to the guys who can beautifully straddle the line between genius and quack.
Because that's we're genius quacks.
Because we're one of each, too.
Yeah.
Well, here's the deal.
Go ahead. He'll tell you the deal.
I'm going to tell you the whole deal here. You should absolutely put in a heavier oil and a couple of cans of STP.
Okay.
And then carry with you a screwdriver.
A screwdriver.
Yeah. So you can take the plates off when the engine seizes by the side of the road.
Well, it's not like...
No, but you'll get some time out of it. You will get some time out of it. But there's nothing that's going to change to make the oil pressure come back.
What are your hopes and aspirations?
What did you want us to say?
What I would have loved to have known is if a simple oil... Maybe a new oil pump.
No, I mean, if you have... Low oil pressure.
Yes.
It derives from one of at least two sources that I can think of immediately. One is the oil pump, and one is that all the bearings are worn out.
Oh, that's what they said.
The main...
But they didn't look.
No.
They didn't look.
All right, here's what you do.
Okay.
Take it to a gas station or, you know, a regular repair shop that's not as affiliated with Ford.
Right.
And tell them that you want them to drop the pan.
Okay.
Which is not that hard to do on this
it's
car.
Similar to dropping trowel.
It would freeze up here if we did that.
Right.
Yeah.
And when they drop the pan, what they're going to be able to then do is take off some of the main bearing and connecting bearing caps.
Right.
And they can inspect them visually. They can see if they've been ruined by lack of lubrication, because if you do have low oil pressure, regardless of the cause... If the bearings have been ruined, then the engine is toast.
Right.
But if they haven't been ruined, and they can check, you can put in a new oil pump, and you might be lucky.
Really?
Well, you might be lucky for a year, two years.
You might be.
Hey, that buys me some time.
It buys you some time, and it gives you something to do.
Right.
See, if you
besides
do, if
snow blowing.
See, and they, I mean, the other guys who say you need an engine, that's kind of the no-brainer solution to it.
Yeah.
If you were down in Mexico, they wouldn't be putting in any stinking engine in your car. They'd be doing exactly what my brother just described.
Okay.
And you're going to do whatever it takes to keep the thing running.
That's exactly what I got to do.
And this might cost you $500 as opposed to, what was the quote they gave you at the dealer?
$3,000. For a rebuilt.
Not bad.
Nope. Gee, I'd go for that. No, that isn't bad.
That
really?
Isn't bad, no.
All right.
And you can always do that.
It's a 93 vehicle.
I understand that. Right. And you have 185,000 miles. Were you hoping to get to two?
Well, yeah, we'd turn it over to two, and then we'd have a big party.
Why don't you just have the party?
Well,
spend the $3,000 on the party.
We might end up doing that.
Well, you might. I would say it's worth the chance. I'd have the guys take the pan down.
Right.
And if they say it's hopeless, then you've got to decide if you want to spend the $3,000. If not, you just junk it.
Okay. I mean, this thing was it was running beautifully until all of a sudden this light starts blinking.
Well, I'm gonna suggest that the pump's gonna fix it.
Really?
That would be great.
That's what
this
you wanted.
Would be great.
Isn't that what you wanted
exactly
to hear?
What I was hoping.
We want to please the callers.
You're pleasing me if this is the case.
I'm on your side, Tom.
I'm with you.
Good luck, Tom.
Thank you.
See you later.
All right.
Bye-bye. Okay, look, I want to discuss last week's puzzler, which was a great puzzler, if I do say so myself. And I'm sure you remember. You don't remember it, do you?
Well, give me a hint.
Okay, I'll lead you there with word association.
Oh, that game.
And we'll make it easy.
Okay, go ahead.
Just give me the first word that pops into your mind.
Jerk.
No, we're not playing yet.
I know. Jerk.
All right, wise guy, here we go. Who's gal?
Uncle Nunzio.
All right, how about up the river?
Salmon. They swim up the river.
Clink.
Champagne glasses.
You're hopeless. You're absolutely hopeless. I give up. The puzzler was from my Prisoner and Light Switches series, and we'll be back with details in just a minute.
My friends all tell me that I'm wacky, getting kind of soft in the head. Because I spend my days in the garage and my nights in an empty bed. And it ain't because mean or ugly, and it ain't because I'm down on my luck. It's just the more I learn about women, the more I love my truck. I had me a girl in high school, just as pretty as could be. I'd go by her house just to pick her up, she'd be an hour just getting ready. Well, if I wanna go out with my pickup, I just hop in and turn the key. She purrs like a kitten all the way to the bar, and she don't talk back to me.
And even though chimpanzees say, no way do we share 96% of our genome with those guys whenever they hear us say it. This is NPR.
Support for NPR comes from Newman's Own Foundation, working to nourish the common good by donating all profits from Newman's Own food products to charitable organizations that seek to make the world a better place. More information is available at newmansownfoundation.org. Support for this podcast and the following message come from the American Jewish World Service, working together for more than 30 years to build a more just and equitable world. Learn more at ajws.org.
I'm Ophira Eisenberg from NPR's Ask Me Another. Every week, we blend comedy, trivia, and a special celebrity interview. Matthew McConaughey.
Culture. My greatest educator.
Ask Me Another from NPR.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and not the answer to last week's puzzler.
What, you're not going to give the answer to the puzzler?
Not yet, Piston Puss. But I gave out a very interesting puzzle last week, one that appeared to be highly mathematical.
Yeah, you said it was going around all the mathematical cocktail parties in Quito, Ecuador, somewhere like that, right?
Well, a small number of people sent us correct answers, and we'll give out a prize to one of the early responders.
Yeah.
But before I give the answer on the air, I want to restate the puzzler in a way that may help a lot more of our listeners figure it out.
Ah, so you're going to de-unclarify it.
There you go.
That's it, yeah.
So stay tuned for that. I'll restate the whole thing in the third half of the show, and next week we'll have two winners, one from the first week and one from the second week.
I can hardly wait. Yes, this is your sneaky way of not coming up with a new puzzler, isn't it?
I have a plethora of potential puzzlers.
Right.
None as good as this one, however. Well, no, I did feel like, I'll explain it later. I did our listeners an injustice, and I want to right the wrong.
Oh, okay. Good.
Okay. Anyway, if you want to talk to us, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-228-255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Kate. I'm calling from Aylesford, Maine.
Hi, Kate.
Aylesford. I-L or I-S-L?
I-S-L. Silent S.
Aylesford.
Yep.
Yeah. Is that way up there in the Never Neverland?
north of the Arctic Circle. No, we're not that far north. We're about, I guess, middle of the coast. I'm on an island, a little Cranberry Island. Islesford's the name of the town on the island.
So you live on an island?
Yes.
In the winter?
In the winter.
On the coast of Maine?
Yep.
What are you, nuts?
Well, she's probably, I mean, there are certain people who like that sort of stuff.
What's the charm? I mean, why? I mean,
she can't get off the island.
Boat's frozen.
Right? Well, this is a particularly beautiful area of Maine, if I say so.
I'm sure it is when the flowers are in bloom and the bees are buzzing, but neither of those things is happening now.
No, but the coast of Maine, you have to admit, they say it's rugged, and it is quite beautiful, but in my opinion, it's beautiful for about 15 minutes. And then what?
And then the mosquitoes get you, or the cold does.
Oh, the cold does.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
My brother suffers. We had an uncle whose name was Uncle Dodo. But that has nothing to do with anything. But my brother suffers from Uncle Dodo disease.
Which is what?
You cannot take him any place to see anything and have him stay for more than 10 minutes without him saying, "Let's get out of here."
No, I always preface it with, "Gee, that's nice. Okay, let's get out of here."
Right. No matter what it is, you take him to see the Taj Mahal. Oh, that's great. Okay, let's go have
coffee. No. See, that's not true. It only applies to natural wonders. If you take me to a coffee shop, I'm good for hours.
We've noticed.
But if you take me to, like, the Grand Canyon, I would say, "Gee, that's great. Okay, let's get out of here."
Anyway, Kate, what's on your mind today?
Enough about geography.
All right. Well, this is an interesting situation because I don't really want to know how to make a car go.
Uh-huh.
I want to know how to make a car stop.
Yeah, a lot of people have this question.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Here's the situation. This is an island, as I told you, and it's rather small. We've only got about, I'd say 3 miles.
Yeah, so if you skid, you're in a lot of trouble. You go off the runway, to speak.
Yeah, right, exactly. Well, there are a few cars out here, but they're pretty much old junkers, and nobody really goes very fast. They just use their trucks to haul groceries and traps, and that's about it. But there's one fellow who's got a Malibu, and he spends, I guess, I would say 80% of his waking hours driving the roads back and forth. And this isn't just an ordinary Malibu. He's got an exhaust system that is particularly loud. And when you're living in a small community of only, I guess, about 78, 80 people, something like that, and this guy's going back and forth all day long.
Driving you nuts.
Driving us nuts. And, you know, we get concerned about the kids running in the road, and who knows, he's making 60 down the highway.
So you're concerned about how do we stop his car from running.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. So you want us to suggest
now,
some...
Now, here's the catch, though. This is the clincher, because we like Corey. That's his name. I mean, he's a really good guy, and I have all...
And, of course, since this is only a very small community,
yep,
he knows you, and you know him.
You got it.
So he will know that you called.
And if I sabotage his car...
He'll know you did it.
It was you.
Well, maybe not. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, he'll know. We'll write to him.
Maybe we can give you the instructions in code.
Yeah. You could mail them to me in a secret envelope. Well, I'll tell you, I don't want him to go to any great expense, but I'm just trying to think, you know, what's something clever we could do? Just keep him busy for a couple of months, or at least to keep him, you know, at a minimum of 15 miles an hour. You think there's anything that can be done?
Oh, so you'd be happy with just slowing him down?
Yeah, just slowing him down, or just, you know, making it so that he has to work for a while before he can hit the road again.
Well, have you considered the direct approach? I mean, not that I haven't got a ready answer for your.
You mean just walk up
and say, "Corey, consarn it."
Yeah, perhaps.
Well, I think most members of his family have attempted that, as well as some other concerned citizens, and you know, it's sort of free reign out here. You can't really.
Sure.
The guy hasn't got a whole lot to do but spin his wheels.
And he's got island fever.
He's got island cabin fever.
Here's what you do. I mean, there are a lot of different things you can do.
Yeah.
But you need...
Most aren't legal, though.
No, most of them aren't legal.
I don't want you to...
No, you know what this... He needs either a visit from the U.S. Army recruiter. Doesn't he? I mean, this guy needs to go places, see people, do things. That's what he needs. He needs some adventure in his life.
Yeah, he's got nothing to do, and he's got the cars. His only entertainment.
Yeah, that's
yeah
true.
And that he's trying help. To drive everyone else crazy, and he's succeeding.
Maybe we could open a Domino's Pizza on the island, and he could be the delivery guy. So you like to slow him down, and the direct approach doesn't work.
Yeah.
So I guess we have to use the indirect approach.
Like a potato in the tailpipe or some such thing like that, but
he's clever. I mean, he definitely knows cars.
Well, so let's see if he can figure this out.
All right.
You have to have someone sneak up to his car at night or when he's away, take all his spark plugs out, and open the spark plug gaps up to about a quarter of an inch.
Okay.
Or more, half an inch.
Yeah.
And put them back in. He won't be able to go over 20, and he won't figure it out either because he'll never think that his spark plug gaps could have gotten bigger.
Uh-huh.
No, but at some point he'll decide to tune it up and put new plugs in it.
But
and then he'll solve that.
Yeah, but then you put the potato in his tailpipe. Try the spark plugs. Open those gaps way up.
All right.
Yeah, he won't be able to get above 20 miles an hour, and he'll spend the night. By the time he gets it all figured out, you'll have moved. Good luck, Kate, and hope the spring comes soon.
All right, we listen to you guys every week.
Sure, what the hell else you got to do? We need more people like you, Kate. Lonely, miserable people.
Captive audience.
Captive on a little island.
Trapped on an island.
With somebody driving back and forth outside your house, making noise.
If you listen carefully, you may hear him in the background.
Hey, good luck, Kate. If I'm ever up in Islesford, which is very unlikely, I'll give you a call.
All right, thanks a lot.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Great. Hi. Who's this?
This is Mark from Colorado Springs.
With a C or a K?
With a K.
Of course. Come on.
Yeah, absolutely.
What do I know?
Well, I don't know. We're going to find out.
All right. Go ahead, man.
I just bought a 99 Volkswagen Passat with a 1.8 liter turbo.
Yeah, nice engine.
Oh, it's a great car. I'm loving it. And when I was growing up, my dad had an Opel GT, and he always said that occasionally you had to take it out on the highway and really step on it and blow the carbon out. And I'm just wondering, was that an excuse he had just to get out and drive fast, or should I do the same thing with my car? I've never owned a turbo before, and, you know, is that...
What did he have, a 70, what's that, a 76 Opel GT?
No, it was a 70.
A 70?
It was a 70, and I bought it from him when I went to college, and, you know, boy, it was a great car.
That was a nice car.
Yeah, it was fun.
That was a fun car, and the reason you had to blow it out, so to speak, was that had a carburetor.
Uh-huh.
And the pistons, you know, especially if you did a lot of in-town driving, the pistons and the valves would get gummed up with carbon.
But only if you did a lot of city driving.
No, he did a lot of highway driving.
But if you did normal highway driving, city driving, the blow-it-out business doesn't apply. But you're right, he may have been using it as an excuse. just to get out of the house.
Well,
I'm going to go blow out some carbon. I'll be back in half an hour.
Yeah,
an hour? 3 hours. Sure, he'd give your mother a peck on the cheek. He'd throw a can of CD2 in the crankcase or something like that. He would feel he was doing something good for mankind.
He came back and seemed happy after.
If only we knew where he went.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He came back with 0.7 miles on the odometer.
And the other reason that you don't have to do it is with current cars and fuel injection and computers, you shouldn't ever have any carbon.
No, no, with modern engine management systems.
Unless you have my wife's Audi.
Ah.
Oh, you bad-mouthing them?
Well, I mean, it's in fact, it's very much like, it's almost the same engine that Mark has.
Yeah, it's the first cousin, right?
It's first cousin. I mean, the other one, the larger one is a 2.8, and
it's a V6, and
it's a V6.
Doesn't look
doesn't
anything like
a turbo,
his.
And it's nothing like
no,
yours.
No, it's nothing like your engine.
But it's made by the same people.
Yeah,
and they have troubles with carbon buildup. So you could take that if you wanted to. I'm just saying, if you wanted to get away from the little woman for half an hour, you could use the blow out the carbon thing.
So you think this afternoon?
And if you come back with a smile on your face, she's gonna belt you one.
Will the cops buy it when they stop me on the highway?
No.
No, okay.
But enjoy the car. This is a nice car.
Yeah.
And don't worry about the car.
I love that engine.
It's a sweet little engine. Yeah,
yeah, well, enjoy it, man.
I will.
It's a nice little car.
I and whenever you get a chance, get it out and blow that carbon out.
I'm on my way to the car right now.
See you, Mark.
Thanks, guys.
Bye. See you later.
See
ya.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
This is Nikki.
Hi, Nikki. Where are you from?
Nikki. I am calling from Portland, Oregon.
N-I-K-I?
N-I-C-K-I.
Oh,
I... For Nicolette.
Nicolette. Yes. Portland, Oregon.
From Portland, Oregon. We got it.
Now, is Portland, Oregon further north than Portland, Maine?
I doubt it.
Oh, I don't believe so.
Ooh. A toughie.
Who cares? So what's up, Nikki?
Well, at age 36, I am in the process of buying my very first car.
No kidding. Who's been driving you around all these years?
You've been getting hand-me-downs, huh?
Well, I've had my driver's license for all of 4 years.
Yeah.
And I've been driving for all of 2 years. You know, I can't rush into these things.
Yeah.
And I've been driving a very, very nice Subaru Legacy station wagon.
Someone else's car. You ever been doing, abstract
car.
Driving?
What did you do in all the prior years, though?
Around. I have 2 wheels.
Bicycle.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay.
And have now, you looked around? What do you like besides this Legacy?
Well, I'm thinking of buying a used car. I don't want to go, hit the modern world full force yet.
Yeah.
So I thought I'd get a used pickup truck because I'm a passionate gardener and I have compost to, haul around town.
Yeah, you don't want to put that in the Legacy, boy. That has a way of lingering.
Yeah, that's what the roommate says. Yeah.
Pickup truck.
Well,
how big a vehicle do you like?
Big?
Well, there are full-size pickup trucks.
Yikes.
And they come in various capacities.
Ooh.
You can get a half ton, you can get a one ton. Of course, I don't think you'd want to carry more than a ton of manure.
Right, right.
Or compost.
A yard of manure at a time.
Yeah.
Yeah. A yard.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking between $4,000 and $5,000, some kind of little... Not full size. That seems a little too much for me, going from a bicycle to a full
size. Yeah, a bicycle to a Legacy. I think you need a smaller pickup.
What does a smaller mean? What do you mean?
Well, you can get something like a Toyota pickup or a Nissan pickup or a Ford Ranger.
Yeah.
Or you can go mid-size and get a Dodge Dakota. Wonderful vehicle, that is.
Happen to have one for sale, I know.
Yes, how much would you want to spend?
Between $4,000 and $5,000.
Sold!
Will you go to $7,000?
Out of the question.
Yeah, no, I mean, the small pickups like the Toyota and the Nissan, they're pretty nice. I mean, they're not really rugged vehicles,
okay.
So that if you wanted to be a real pickup truck driver and do real pickup things.
Well, I mean, you wouldn't want to carry like 25 or 30 sheets of sheetrock in it.
Not that much.
But she's not going to do that.
Now, is there a ritual that you go through when you buy your very first
Well, of course.
The
first thing you do is you check out the sound system. Yeah, that's more important than anything. If it doesn't pass that, there's no sense in going any further.
Good point.
Yeah, and then you've got to do the obligatory kicking of the tires.
You really do that?
Yeah, everyone does
it. It makes you look good, and if nothing else, it makes you feel good.
Yeah, now, what kind of shoes should I wear?
I like a nice plain brown pump.
Pump?
You do?
And I would wear pearls with it.
With
I mean, when you're buying a used vehicle, you always have to kick the tires. New vehicles, you don't kick tires.
Okay, that's good to know.
Another good thing to do with the used vehicle.
You know why people kick tires? It feels good. It's an interesting kind of reaction you get from the tire. You kick, and it kind of kicks back.
It does. And maybe you're just getting even for all the things. Maybe that's why the truck later gets even with you. The first time we met, you kicked me.
Yeah, this is true.
But you can, I would say, the most important thing is to drive it and get a feel that you like it. I mean, if you feel that it's too big or too small, that would obviously, put it off the list.
Yeah.
But once you've established that you like the way it feels for you, and you can see over the steering wheel well enough, and you can maneuver it in traffic, then you should take it to a mechanic and have it checked out. Because we can't tell you what to check out.
That is a
trade
crucial
secret.
Step, because even though you say, what's a good year? The answer is, there are no good years.
Right.
And they're all good years.
What's good is the previous owner.
Right.
And the only way you can know that is to have a mechanic really check it out from stem to stern.
Okay.
If he charges you less than $75, he's not doing it.
Oh, that's good to know.
And if he charges you more, he's ripping you off.
Right.
See you, Nikki. Good luck.
Thanks so much.
All right. Bye-bye. Make sure to wash it out after you carry them.
I'll do that.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
I like that. What kind of shoes should you wear? See, you never realize when someone hasn't ever bought a car, they don't know little things like that.
Hey, I think it's time for us to take a little break. I think my brother needs a little rest. He hasn't been himself today.
What do you mean? I've been helpful, concise. I've even given out a couple of right answers.
Like I said, you're not yourself today.
We'll be back with more of your calls and an old and unimproved, old but improved Puzzler in just a minute.
He used to open up my throttle, driving around all over town. He traded for a new Amato the first time something broke down. But I ain't ready for the junkyard, no. A little fresh paint and I'm good to go. All fueled up and I'm gonna cruise just as soon as I can get some juice. I need to find somebody with the power to jumpstart my.
And even though Chicken Little says, okay, now do you believe me? Whenever we say it, this is NPR.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Kay Buxbaum in support of the David Gilkey and Zabiula Tamana Memorial Fund, established to strengthen NPR's commitment to training and protecting journalists in high-risk environments.
Saturday morning, your week was long, your time is precious, but why not take 10 minutes to catch up on some of the biggest news stories with Up First, NPR's morning news podcast. I'm Scott Simon.
And I'm Lulu Garcia-Navarro. Up First, here weekday mornings, and now every Saturday at 8 Eastern, 2.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler, but it isn't a new Puzzler.
No.
It's last week's Puzzler, but...
Well, it's new because you're going to give it a different introduction.
A different slant, so to speak.
Slant.
Anyway, this is from my Prisoners and Light Switches series. And I got it from our pal Stan Zadonik, who teaches at Brown University. And he told me this Puzzler had been making the rounds of Hungarian mathematicians' parties, which evidently Stanley frequents.
Yeah, he's a weirdo.
Anyway, I'm going to give you the Puzzler. But before that, I'm going to say that I feel that I did most of our listeners an injustice because... The first line of the Puzzler stated that this was making the rounds of these mathematicians' parties in Hungary,
yeah.
which suggested that you needed to be a mathematician to solve it.
Or Hungarian. Which immediately reduced the potential answerers to 7.
But we did get an answer from David Rainman Green.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, Dave Green, our assistant producer, figured it out. No one else.
That should be a hint enough right there. Any moron can figure this out.
And the truth is, you don't have to be Hungarian. You don't have to be a mathematician. In fact, I would go so far as saying that this is within the grasp of the average junior high schooler.
Yeah.
Here it is. The warden meets with his 23 prisoners when they arrive. He gives them a challenge. He says, "You may meet together today and plan a strategy, but after today, you will be in isolated cells and have no communication with each other whatsoever." That's what he thinks. "There's a room in the prison that contains 2 light switches labeled A and B. These are just regular light switches. Up is on, down is off. I'm not telling you their present positions, which could be any combination of up or down.
Up or down.
And the switches are not connected to anything. After today, from time to time, whenever I feel so inclined, I will select one prisoner at random and escort him to the switch room. This prisoner will select one of the 2 switches and reverse its position. He must move one, but only one of the switches. He can't move both, but he can't move none either. He must move one. And then he'll be led back to his cell. No one else will enter the switch room until I lead the next prisoner there. And he'll be instructed to do the same thing, move one of the switches, either on or off. I'm going to choose prisoners at random. I may choose the same guy 3 times in a row, or I may jump around and come back. You know, that's what random means.
Yeah.
But given enough time, everyone will eventually visit the switch room as many times as everyone else. And here's what I want. Here's what I want you to be able to do, and here's why you need to devise a strategy. When one of you can say, we have each visited the switch room at least once... If you can say that, and you are correct, you will all be set free. If it's not true, meaning someone hasn't been to the switch room, you will all be fed to the alligators. So the question is, what is the strategy the prisoners devise today?
Yeah, that's it. I mean, this is the same puzzle you gave last week without the intro that the Hungarian mathematicians were all
and
working
like
on.
Like I said, I think a sixth grader, a smart sixth grader, could figure it out, which puts you just out of the reach of Berman. But
and most everybody here. Yeah, it's good.
I think so. And I'm toying with giving another hint.
Well, I can give one. Take a long-term perspective. Mm-hmm. Don't forget, these guys are in prison for life. So if it took 20 years to come up with an answer, it would be a deal.
Well, you know, we also don't know how often the warden is
we
calling.
We don't.
It may be every 5 minutes.
Maybe.
We don't know that, in which case they might all be out in a month.
But take a long-term perspective.
All right. The hint I was going to give is...
Go ahead. We'll give two hints.
Solve it for three prisoners.
Ooh, that's a good one. Yeah. Well, let's give another hint.
Yeah. Okay.
Here's the answer. No, here's the other hint is, when we were first introduced to this problem, unfortunately, there was a room full of MIT graduates. And we all focused on the fact that 23 was a prime number.
Yeah.
And boy, was that stupid.
Well, anyway.
That was a stupid.
I'm sure by now you've all gotten the answer. So you can write it on a postcard or on the back of a $21 bill and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. Or you can email your answer to us from cartalk.com. But right now, if you have a question about your car or anything else, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Arlie from Evanston, Wyoming.
Is it Arlo with a Y?
Nope.
E-E?
A-R-L-E-I-G-H.
Oh.
Yeah. One of those weird Gaelic spellings.
Of course, right. We should have known that.
Right, like Sir Walter Arlie.
Exactly.
Yeah. And yeah. Where are you from again?
Evanston, Wyoming.
Evanston, Wyoming.
Out here in the hinterlands.
Yeah, you said it, not us.
I could tell that in your voice, though.
You could you?
So what kind of a pickup truck do you have?
You know, you're absolutely right. I think 95% of the vehicles in Evanston, Wyoming are pickup trucks. But I happen to drive a 1988 Nissan Stanza.
Really?
Really. At very inconvenient times, usually, it will begin to do two things. And this is sometimes just when I start it up. Sometimes it's when I've been driving it for 15 minutes. One, the accelerator starts to do the opposite of what you want it to do. You touch it, and the car dies. And the second thing is, it does what I call the Elvis idle.
Mm. Shake, rattle, and roll?
No. It goes like this. It goes...
I'm going to shake up.
The Elvis idle. I love it.
And let me just confirm here.
Yeah.
If you get beyond that 15-minute mark, are we correct in assuming that all of this goes away and doesn't recur?
No, not necessarily.
That's not correct.
Sometimes. It usually does happen on short trips. I haven't had it happen on the freeway. And this only happens in the winter, and it's actually happened the last 4 winters.
Really?
Yeah.
You're a patient guy.
You're a patient man, is right.
No, I'm cheap. And it usually just happened on cold mornings, and it usually, as the car warmed up, it did stop. Mm-hmm. But then recently, it started doing it when the car was very warm to where the temperature needle was all the way halfway between C and H.
Mm. All right, let me just tell you in advance here, right from the get-go, that any answer you receive from us is going to be pure guesswork. And we're giving you one final opportunity here to either give us more information, hang up, or this is a new policy we're going to institute here at Car Talk. We want you to think of a backup question.
I mean, oh yeah,
right. I mean, if your number one question can't be answered, it would be nice if you had a backup question, because if you did, you might get an answer.
Okay, I'll work on that. Okay, let me give you more information.
Give us more information then.
Okay. The other day, I had driven to the gym, worked out, and then left, and then, you know, hour later, got back in the car, drove about a minute or two, and then it died at an intersection. I coasted down the hill to the Walmart parking lot, and there it did the Elvis Idol for half an hour.
Can you give us the Elvis Idol again? Because I'm not so sure that all of America heard it. So maybe a few people in the bathroom.
It sounds like...
I love it. All right. I think we've established that there's no real pattern here. That's good because it fits in with my answer.
Oh, good.
Now, I'm not sure your car has one of these, but if it does... If it does, this is the prime candidate. And I think it does. I mean, this thing is fuel injected.
Yeah.
And I believe it has a device. Not all fuel injected cars have one, but I believe your car has a throttle position sensor. And from what you describe, this is the most likely candidate. Mm. Now, I think you ought to be able to go and find a junkyard and buy yourself a used one. And you can identify it as being the right one because yours will have numbers on it.
Okay.
You know, I discount things like the fuel pump and the air mass meter and all that because I think that over 4 years, something awful would have happened.
Let me ask you one other thing. When it does warm up and it's running okay, what's it idling at? How many RPMs?
Oh, about 1,000.
Why, you have a thought?
I do have a thought, because I wasn't thinking of the throttle position sensor. I was getting...
Who were you thinking of?
I was getting vacuum.
Really?
I was having a strong feeling having to do with vacuum.
Maybe because that negative pressure in your cranium.
No, but ponder it, if you will.
Yeah.
When we get him back for
Stump the Chumps,
we'll find out that he's got a vacuum leak. I have strong vacuum leak feelings.
Okay.
I just want to go on record.
Okay.
I just want to go on record. Okay.
All right.
That's it.
See ya, Arlie.
Thank you very much, guys.
Throttle position sensor. If it doesn't have one, you won't be on Stump the Chumps. Good luck.
Thank you very much.
Bye bye.
Thank you very much. Oh, sugar.
1-8.
That's a very good.
1-888 Car Talk. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Melissa from Richmond, Virginia.
What's up with you, Melissa?
Well, I was driving on New Year's Eve to Blacksburg, and it's a 3-hour drive from Richmond, and it was late at night. I didn't have time to dry my clothes, so I brought the wet ones with me, and I had the brilliant idea of, while I was driving, turning the defroster on high and the heat on high and then laying my clothes up there. And I dried a pair
on the dashboard?
On the dashboard, right.
I love it.
And I dried a pair of overalls, two sweaters, a couple skirts, and a shirt in 3 hours. And I was so proud of myself. I was like, all right, I've got this all figured out. And the next morning when I tried to use my defroster or heater, it was broken. The fan burned out.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Well,
yeah.
I'm not surprised, I have to say.
No, I'm surprised. This is an old car. What is this thing?
It's a 97 Jeep Grand Cherokee.
Let me get this straight. When you laid these sweaters on the dashboard, did you cover up all the possible openings?
No, I was careful just to cover one vent, and I left the other vent open. But I covered the one right in front of the steering wheel. And is the fan under there, perhaps?
No.
No, the fan is actually on the other side, but it wouldn't make any difference because the fan housing is open to both of those vents.
Huh.
And so, I mean, I was, when I said I wasn't surprised, it was because I thought you had covered up everything and therefore the air had no place to go.
No, I've got a little common sense. So, no, I didn't cover both of them.
Oh, so Tommy was thinking that by restricting the flow of air, you overheated the fan motor
and
burned it out. But you didn't do that, did you, Melissa?
Well, I didn't think I did, but I did touch the radio buttons about 2 hours into the trip, and they felt very hot.
They felt very hot.
And I thought, I'm going to burn out my fan, but no, I'll keep doing it anyways.
Yeah, well, you did burn out the fan.
So that's...
I'm just wondering why.
Is it a faulty Jeep that you should be able to cover one of the vents?
Well, I mean, did you get the dryer option when you bought it? I don't know if the Jeep company has ever considered this as a possibility.
Is it covered in the owner's manual?
Yeah, did you look in the owner's manual under drying?
I didn't check it. Should I call the manufacturer and complain?
Well, I'm trying to figure out what happened, because clearly you burned out the motor.
Uh-huh.
And yes, the fact that the buttons on the radio were hot, the fan is behind there somewhere.
But okay. none of the speeds work now?
No, none of them. It will very slowly ooze out heat.
Oh, you may have just blown a fuse.
Well, I checked all the fuses.
If it isn't the fuse,
mm-hmm. It's the motor.
Then it's undoubtedly the motor, and you may be able to get it to spring to action by giving it a few gentle taps, like with a brick or something.
With a brick.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if it really got that hot,
mm-hmm.
That would mean it would be sucking a lot of amps, and it probably would have blown the fuse.
Okay.
Could have just burned itself out. And I'm going to go with my brother's original theory. I think you had more of that ductwork blocked than you think. Or that you're admitting to.
No, the other, I couldn't reach the other side and drive safely. Or else I probably would have blocked it.
Well, it could be just a coincidence, but it's unusual for a 97 Cherokee to burn out a blower motor.
I thought it was quite resourceful of you, though, Melissa, to dry the clothing that way. It was going to take hours.
Well, thank you.
Said, why waste the time?
Oh, and it worked so well.
Yeah, well, you won't do anything stupid like that anymore. Melissa, don't let this discourage you.
Okay.
You are a creative individual.
Yes. Just keep those ideas coming.
I will keep going.
All righty.
Thank you, guys.
Great to talk to you. Bye.
I love the show. Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, it's happened again. You've blown off another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from his stunning victory at the Twin Cities Fruited Jello Moldoff, is John Bugsy Lawler.
Is he here? No.
No. He's back, but he's recuperating. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Inovera. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our document security expert from the island of Jamaica is Euripides Upman, who is not related to our tailor, of course, Euripides Imenides, or to our staff bouncer, Euripides I Break Your Face, or to the proprietor of our men's clothing shop, Euripides Euonides. Our divorce attorney is Carmine Not Yours. Our bullfighting intern, currently on medical leave, is Gordon Head. Our meteorologist from the New Delhi office is Luke Outavindo. Our director of Pavlovian research is Isabel Ringing. Our Shakespearean waiter is Coffee Anon. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. And our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey Chidman Howe is Louis Dewey, known to the best and the brightest pigeons in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. Don't drive like my
brother. Don't drive like my
brother. Please. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 2007, enhance your seasonal affective disorder by subscribing to our weekly podcast and check out our clothing and best of collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, what to do with your old heap when you buy a new car.
You could crush it just for the emotional satisfaction that revenge brings on, but why not rise above that and donate it to benefit your favorite public radio station?
It's extremely easy with the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program.
Details are on the website at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though NPR's landlord doubles the security deposit every time he hears us say it, this is NPR.